Welcome to the Marketing Intern Spotlight. A marketing intern is a listener who's spreading our message authentically. Hear their story, their passion, and their journey. Enjoy.
Gabe, when was the last time you've seen your coffee joke video?
That's a good question.
We're going to have to keep you close to the mic, Gabe.
Yeah, Gabe, we're going to need to, we need you to be bet.
Like here?
Yes.
Yeah, right around there.
Is that perfect?
Absolutely. That's exactly where we would need you, dude. And if you're not there, that's when we get concerned.
Like, we have kind of like a Starbucks thing at my school, you know, like. Yeah. And so I go up to the person, I think her name's Caroline, and I say, hey, so, can you guys make a pumpkin spice hot chocolate? This is in October, pumpkin spice is huge, and, they're like, yeah, we can make that, and I'm like, all right, cool, but, like, can you, like, change my name, like, maybe say Brittany, and I'll just pretend I'm getting it for, like, my girlfriend, because I don't want people knowing, like, I'm getting a pumpkin spice chocolate, or, say, like, coffee black for Gabe, or something like that. And, like, they're like, oh, yeah, we can do that. And so I go and I sit by the nice fireplace and I'm waiting for my pumpkin spice hot chocolate. We've all been there, just waiting for our girly drink and we just sit like this. And then fucking Daryl. Fuck, I hate that man. I hate the rest of my life. Daryl goes, pumpkin spice hot chocolate for Gabe. And I'm just sitting there like. And I lean into the guy next to me and I'm like, are you Gabe? And then he's like, no. I'm like, oh. And then I hear some girl say, they just say pumpkin spice hot chocolate. And I'm like, I've been waiting a while. I'll just take this one, whatever. So I take it.
A lot has changed since then.
I'd just like to state that video was falsified, and I don't know how you guys did it, but well done.
What do you mean, dude?
That's not me.
It doesn't look like you.
Yeah, it's not me.
I think Daryl had you pinpointed. He had you between some crossfire.
It might have been me. It might have happened in so many words.
The thing that shocks me is that's a real story, right? That happened?
That is a real story, yeah.
That blows my mind. You can't make this stuff up. I mean, you're just a pumpkin spice guy, and I'm glad we have you on now.
Right.
In the correct month.
I hope that I'm a little bit more articulate than I was that night. Mm. So let's get started on a good foot here.
Okay. Well, welcome, my good friend, my longtime good friend,
Pumpkin Spice Gabe.
Pumpkin Spice Gabe, how you doing, brother?
I'm happy to be here. I think I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that Declan and I are fantasy football partners, and our team is 5-1.
Right? So this is
we're going into week 7. Let's just get that out of the way.
Yeah.
Now.
No, absolutely. We've been co-owners of a team for what, 7 years now? Seven.
Mm-hmm.
7 years. And we've never won the championship.
We came in second last year.
And we're first place right now. So I know in our league, Andrew, I'm like bottom feeder, don't have a running back, not that good, but just
we
on the other side.
Other.
Yeah. I'm not a good solo owner, put it that way.
Me neither.
Are you really not?
Not yep. As well. I don't do as well as I do with you.
Okay. That's good.
I do average.
Would you say you guys complete each other? Or would you say you guys are pretty whole separately and you just so happen to be good partners?
I think that absolutely we complete each other. I think that's an excellent way to put it.
Yeah, I would say
it's beautiful.
Yeah, it is. It is pretty beautiful. I would also add that, you know, I think we are pretty good, you know, standalone humans as well.
Absolutely.
But
I'd like to think so.
Yeah, but when we come together, it's...
We've been known to cause a ruckus, you could say.
A time or two, yes.
There's a full festival behind you guys. Gaby Days?
Correct. Gaby Days are actually... They commenced this morning at around 8:30 a.m. when I got into Minnesota. And
well, they commenced at 4 a.m., I believe. Because the wake up is part of the journey.
Well, I'm gonna stick with 8 a.m., 8:30. That's when I got in. So
okay.
The wake up. I don't want to start with the wake up. The wake up was tough, and the plane ride was a little bit tough. And so let's just start with the positive.
All right, fair.
When you're sitting in a plane,
You're a fairly tall guy.
Yeah, you got length.
I did get an exit row, and I was B-54 for Southwest Airlines, and I didn't think I'd get an exit row, but I was sandwiched between two people. But see, my move is to get the exit row because you have more leg room, but then you also have more room to put the tray table down, and then I just put my head on the tray table and try to sleep that way.
Like full lean over?
Do you put your forehead on there or you put
your ear? I put my arms down first and then I put my head on my arms.
I was picturing you with your arms below the tray table.
Oh.
And you just got your forehead on the tray.
I might try that on the way home.
Yeah.
We'll see if I can get that exit row again. But it doesn't work if the tray table is too close to me.
Right, because you have length and your back is too long. You would just kind of like, you'd curl.
Precisely.
Versus be a flat parallel to the ground. Wow.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
God, I'm picturing it all. I'm picturing you very cozy.
Well, let's slow down there, partner.
Okay, right on. What do you think of the dragon fruit bolo? Are these as good
as very pleased.
Yeah?
Yeah. Can you guys hear me drink it on?
I don't know if we can hear him drink it on the actual audio, what the listeners listen to, but our headphones pretty much pick up everything. So
okay.
We got that going for us.
Sweet. Which is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you to bring the mic a little closer to you. No, bring the mic to you.
To you.
Like right here.
I'll bring the glass to you. Don't pour over me. I'll bring the glass to you.
Right.
Right.
So I guess we probably should educate our listeners on who's sitting across from us right now.
Okay.
I guess we kind of did already. Gabe's my good friend from high school.
Fantasy owners.
He comes out to visit Minnesota once a year, typically. When he does, the whole town, I mean, really gathers together, arm in arm.
Banners and all.
I mean, it's like it's kind of a kumbaya session amongst the people that are aware.
I wouldn't go kumbaya. I would go Gaby Days.
Well, yes. Mm-hmm. The title is Gaby Days, and it just brings the people together. It's very fun.
It's rejoiceful.
Yeah. But yeah, I would say.
Much rejoicing.
Yeah, definitely much rejoicing. And I mean, last year we had a hiatus.
I did not make it out last year. That's correct.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's my fault or your fault. Or maybe, I guess we maybe have some co-ownership in that. And that's all right.
I'd have to look at the receipts and see where offers were made and where offers were declined.
Mm-hmm.
Go back to the taxes.
Yeah.
Tax season.
But we'll just take mutual ownership of it as of now, and then we can take that offline and figure out whose fault it was last year.
That's definitely an offline conversation that I'd like to have, because
I don't want to fight with you on your own podcast.
Yeah. Well, Andrew,
but I'm pretty sure it was my fault.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. We do fight a lot on this podcast, but it wasn't until recently that Andrew and I finally agreed on something, and we realized that we act in solidarity together. Are you aware of what solidarity means?
You could refresh me.
It means, dude, I honestly don't remember. It's like
when you agree on a feeling.
Go ahead.
A feeling. You have agreement towards a feeling.
I'll look it up again. I need to we dedicated a whole episode title to.
Well, we were like, what's the difference between solitude and solidarity?
Right.
And solitude is being lonely.
Yes.
And solidarity is having a shared emotion. A
unity
upon.
Or agreement of feeling or action, especially amongst individual with common interest. So we agreed that we operate in solidarity together, trying to build back pocket, essentially, is what it really comes down to.
Does that make sense?
That's beautiful. Yeah, yeah. Well put.
Thank you. And another thing that the listeners should note, you know, Gaby Days are kind of an its own standoff event in itself. But in addition, you have made your quick remarks on this podcast subtly, and I would even say scarcely when you look at the grand scheme of what we've put out in the past 2.5 years. But when you've come on, it's been absolute electricity. Do you remember the times you've been on?
I remember one time I was at a hockey game for like a ninth grader or something. We won't get into it. And you guys called me and asked me to speak on Andrew Lorch's LinkedIn picture.
Austin Lorch.
You called him Andrew Lorch on the podcast too.
That time. Yeah. Whoopsie, sorry, Lorch.
That cat doesn't get enough respect on this podcast, I don't think.
His respect is coming. He has to earn it.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen him in like 3 years though, in fairness.
That's fair. We haven't and really seen him much either.
He's only ever referred to as Lorch, so.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. I believe you had a quote there that he had a photo of him in a suit and tie wearing a Columbia blue tie. And I believe your quote was, he looks like Christian McCaffrey,
but at North Carolina, UNC.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And there's a little bit of hyper-realism in Lorch's photo as well, which that is stuck.
High def, yeah.
To this day. Do you remember that? You said it looks like a hyper-realistic photo.
I said that?
Yeah. You don't remember this?
It rings a bell. That's fair. I can't confirm nor deny.
You said that too.
You said that too.
Yep.
About what?
That exact term you said, I think you said something along the lines of, you said that it might be a hyper-realistic photo, but you cannot confirm nor deny. You literally said that.
We'll play the clip back.
Yeah,
like,
I gotta find it.
We'll just insert it right here.
Okay, yeah, we'll insert it. It's okay. Funny. Let's go ahead and start with his good friend, Gabe Fighton from Colorado.
Cal, how are you?
Gabe, it's the guys from the back pocket, man. I've heard you heard about Lorch's picture on Facebook. I'm sure you saw it. We're going to go ahead and take your comments on it, man. What do you got for us?
Well, Decal and the guys from back pocket, the listeners of back pocket know it's no secret how I feel about Austin Lorch. That man has a heart of gold. And I would do anything for him. Everyone knows that. However, that picture shocks me.
How so?
Rather like, I do have a clarifying question.
What is that?
Is this picture a hyper-realistic painting? Or did Lorch put a paint filter on the photo? Because it doesn't look authentic.
It doesn't look like him, does it?
We think it's a wax mannequin.
I kid you not, with the powder blue tie, it almost looks like Christian McCaffrey transferred to the University of North Carolina to be a Tar Heel, and that's his team.
And
that's
then,
his team picture.
And then gelled his hair,
and put a little highlights in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you notice the highlights?
Frosted tips.
I'm still focused on the fact that it looks like a painting. Can we confirm or...
You know, we can't confirm or deny on that, but we know that Lorch is a sly guy in that regard.
There's absolutely nothing bad I can say about that, man. He'd run through a wall for me, I know that much.
That's absolutely correct, man. He would for everybody and all our listeners. Thank you, Gabe. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Take care.
Good luck with the rest of the show.
Wow, that was a good segment from our good friend Gabe. You know, it really means a lot when he talks about awesome like that.
He said it.
And so, was this a successful podcast for you guys? Did it gain a lot of traction? Were there listeners going crazy, or were they?
Well, it definitely created a cult following behind your personality.
Well, every time I've come out since then, everyone will come up to me, all of your St. Thomas buddies, and they'll say, "Decky, how are we?" Because that's how I started my invitation, and people really emphasize a deep voice and they'll really emphasize that. And so every time I've come out, people come up to me and say, "Decky, how are we?" Great. I'm in Minnesota. Couldn't be happier.
So is that a form, and you can confirm or deny on this one, is that a form of bullying? Or do you feel bullied?
No.
No. You feel
no.
Kind of, yeah.
You can't bully me.
No.
Yeah, I don't think so. Do you get mad when people, like, mimic your voice back to you every time they see you?
No, not at all. I like it.
You like the uniqueness of your... Because I personally like the uniqueness of your voice.
Yeah, I remember in high school, almost in every single class I had, whenever I would, you know, raise my hand, I was a pretty good student, and I'd answer questions in class, and I'd say the answer, and teachers would literally say the exact same thing I said using my voice. We went to an all-guys high school, and so there's a little bit more razzmatazz, I feel like, in the classroom, and the teachers weren't afraid to give me a little prodding because of my deep voice, and I think it created an okay atmosphere. I enjoyed the special attention. Yeah. I think it was
absolutely
it boosted up the morale a little bit.
Right,
it got the party going.
It loosened things up.
At what age did you get your deep voice, and like, did you realize it when you like woke up one day?
So I've never really like. I don't feel like I have a perspective on my voice being deep, but some of my earliest memories, like 4 and 5 years old, were people like, "His voice is so deep for a 4 year old." And I'm like, I don't even know what a deep voice even means.
Right, because it's your
like,
voice.
I feel like the lady who used to cut my hair, she would always say it. One of my dad's dear family friends, I think, would say it, so... It's just one of my earliest memories. One of my fondest, too. I don't have a lot of good memories. That's not true.
I'll throw one your way. The first time I saw you, or not saw you, the first time, like, I think this was, like, a pinnacle moment in us actually confirming that we were going to be friends.
You guys looked at each other and were like, "Did we just become best friends?"
I would say something along those lines, yeah.
It was the stepbrother moment, almost.
Almost, yeah. And the situation and the environment really had nothing to do with Gabe and I, but this was at the end of freshman year.
Of high school.
Of high school. Regis was in the state championship for baseball, and we had gone to the game. And I don't know if I went with Gabe, but I ended up going, and Gabe was also there. And after we were with this other kid, and Gabe and I went back to his place with this other kid,
Sam.
Yeah, and we started. I think we like went to the park or something, and we're just like screwing around like freshman high schoolers would, and all of a sudden Sam just starts throwing up, projectile vomiting everywhere around this park, because I think we were like doing something like on the merry-go-round or something. Like, I don't remember what caused it.
Dude, I'm pretty sure it was unprovoked. That's the way I remember it.
That's what I remember, too. Like,
he might have had, like,
nowhere.
Too many hot dogs at the game. I don't know. That was awesome.
Yeah, but I just remember that moment for some reason of, like, we're enduring this together. Sam's barfing everywhere. We're going to have to ride or die at this point.
I think that Fine Art 1
with Antonio Mays.
Yeah.
And then who was...
Can I say his name on the podcast?
Yeah, we can bleep it if we have to.
Drew Craigle.
Who's Drew?
So Drew, this is a hard one to explain.
Yeah.
Where do we start with this
one? I don't think the listeners will, the marketing interns will really take hold of Drew Craigle the way that we would.
So is this fine arts in freshman year?
This would be sophomore year.
And are you doing like pottery, or are you doing music? What kind of fine art are you in?
So we were painting.
Pastels?
Watercolors? A little bit of everything. Mm. I think we did self-portraits at one point. I remember...
Crayola?
Now I'm mixing up grade school and high school art projects. I know we did self-portraits. We had sketch journals.
Yep.
And people would be like trying to copy sketch journals. I'm like, how are you going to copy that? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it was because it was kind of a big workload. Like, you had to have 20 sketches. It was like you picked a still frame thing and you drew like shadows on it or something, and you had to do that 20 times. So kids would like not like you, what they realized like 30 minutes before class and their homework was due and they didn't have anything to actually show is like, again, like Gabe was saying, they would like scribble down like other people's art, it just doesn't work like that.
No. Yeah. You can't just really quickly copy someone else's piece, you know? And
yeah,
for some reason, all of the freshmen and sophomores at our high school did think it worked that way, to where you can just scribble away and
magic will happen.
And let her be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Not me and Deck, though. We stayed on top of it.
We stayed on top of it. Yeah. I actually have a piece of art from that class still.
Tyron Matthew.
The Tyron Matthew, yeah, walking on the LSU field. That was when he was at LSU. That was the year we lost to Bama, and when we had to rematch them in the championship.
Mm.
We beat Georgia in the championship game.
The SEC championship game. Yeah.
You remember that one?
Oh, where Aaron Murray.
Aaron Murray, and then he had that crazy punt return where he like just ran around everybody like four times.
Oh, Tyron Matthew?
Yeah, that was crazy.
I do.
But Drew Craigle, I know we're not we got to touch back on that.
A deep dive.
It is kind of a deep dive. I don't even really know how to describe the kid. He was just
like a Theo Vaughn moment where like you bring back like your old friend, yeah, and everyone's, you know, kind of just like, what the
right fuck? And he just like, yeah, you know, Drew Craigle. Yeah.
His
parents were cops. I knew that.
He was a senior.
Yep.
When we were sophomores.
Yeah.
And he is in Fine Art 1 with us, and he's the only senior, and he chooses Declan and I to be his table mate,
yeah, his
essentially.
Companions.
And Declan and I, like, pretty innocent kids, and Drew Craigle basically had an interesting past, we'll call it. And Declan and I would just listen to his stories every Monday, Wednesday, Friday in art class, and then we'd go and talk about it like, dude, Craigle's crazy. Craigle had a tattoo of the word Craigle on his collarbone. And he also had a drug reference tattooed on his thigh. Do you remember that?
I totally forgot about all of this. I forgot about Craigle on his collarbone.
Yeah.
Remember when we asked him, we're like, hey, did that hurt? Yeah, why did you do that? I don't think he gave us a definitive answer.
No, it was kind of like, well, what, like, what else would I want?
The time is like, the time is now. Yeah.
It's so true.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a culture shock for us.
Did he kind of? So you mentioned you guys were innocent at the time. Did he
still innocent for any of the listeners?
Yeah, listeners. But I'd beg to differ, because I think Craigle had a little influence that sophomore year. I think tides were turning. You were growing out of your innocent ways. You were shifting into a fairly more rambunctious duo.
Yeah, I think things...
I don't think...
Were you guys slipping? Did Craigle make you slip?
No, it probably wasn't that, but it was definitely like the seed was probably planted at that point.
Like, and what again, if?
Yeah, what if?
Could I?
I don't know. Like, you know, there's mischief that everyone gets into, and then there's mischief that this particular Craigle would get into. And I don't think any of that rubbed off on either of us.
we weren't as rambunctious as we like make ourselves out to be now, I would say.
Yeah.
We don't get into much.
Yeah.
But it is interesting, like, I'm trying to think it's interesting what I'm like realizing now is I got two of my best friends in the room right now.
Thank you.
This is kind of cool, bro. This is kind of cool. Like there's a, this is a dynamic I don't normally get to have.
Yeah, like I have four shared experiences with Gabe.
Four total. What are your share?
Specific memories, but times that we've interacted over the years, like 4 years, once a year.
Right. The one that comes to mind was the last time Gabe was here, and Gabe was in an Uber with you and Gameo.
Oh yeah.
And we lived at 381 Cleveland North, and the address took him to 381 Cleveland South.
And you guys fell asleep, and I didn't in the Uber. And do you remember this?
It's coming back to me now. I forgot.
And the guy is like dropping us off and I wake you up and I don't have any idea where Declan is.
I'm in the passenger seat, right? Up front?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I wake you up and I'm like, we're at the wrong place. I think we got into the wrong Uber. I don't think we went to 381
South.
I think we got into the wrong Uber. And yeah, it was,
I remember
it took like 40 minutes
to like revert and the whole trip. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is priceless, dude.
That is the one time I just remember you two together, which is so funny. The first time I met Andrew, the first fond memory that I have was freshman year in college at St. Thomas. And it was Halloween night and me, Andrew, I think Lorch, Greg, and
Alante,
yeah. this guy looks like Terrio. and he's doing sales in Green Bay now, which not a lot of people know that. But we went.
I'll look him up.
Yeah, look him up. And he's got a heavy LinkedIn following.
Okay.
And what happened? We were like dunking on people. We were like a dunk squad. It was insane. And I think that was the first time I had an association with you. That was freshman year. That's what I remember, at least.
That's
correct me
fair.
If I'm wrong.
Yeah, that one. And then I also have a memory of Kurt's cabin, Cabin Palooza.
Cabin Palooza?
Yep.
Or the February. Were you there for that one?
No, the first one I missed.
That was with Mark. Never mind.
I was there the second one. Yeah. That's when I
Cabin Palooza.
That's dude. When I really got a full dosage of Decky Party Thrower, and for all the listeners, they know him very well, and I'm sure you know this about him as well too, Gabe. How Decky throws, and he loves to throw events, and he loves to throw them with other people's kind of property.
So, one of the ways we used to describe Declan in high school is that I think the best way to describe it is Declan's catchphrase was always, "I don't see what the big deal is," followed shortly by, "Oh," because I feel like he would always be like, "Oh yeah, we can just do X, Y, and Z," and we'd be like, "No, we can't," because blah, blah, blah. Be like, "Great point." So, I think that definitely took on when we were getting people together and he'd have these big ideas and we'd be like, pump the brakes because
ABC.
ABC, XYZ.
Now you know.
My ABCs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's pretty much what happened.
Still happens today.
You think so? Or are we?
Oh, come on, no.
No, I believe, but almost what I'm thinking now is,
but
like,
I will say, I think that his big ideas have stayed the course.
Yeah.
And now he has had more accessibility to do them, which I think is awesome. So,
okay. That might be it. That might be it. I was going to say, like, they were pumping the brakes on me because they were just flat out bad ideas and they knew that they were bad ideas.
They were bad ideas at the time, but they were big ideas.
Good point. But now...
And these ideas could still be looked at as bad.
Right.
However, they're still big, and...
Still bad.
You know? Yeah. Still bad, still big. And now you have someone that just just buys into some of them. Like, I'll X-nay a handful, and then I'll buy into one, and like, all right, I can see myself helping out in this situation.
Yeah, no, well, that's
you got you have a partner now that's just like, all right, you can work that off of. Versus you had a crew of people that were probably like, I don't even want to try to rail them in and make this happen.
Yeah, and that was definitely part of it. And you at least give me the time of day to at least hear it through. You're like, okay, I think this might work. Like, this has wheels.
Yeah, we'll take a little bit of that and this, and then we can do that.
Yeah, and back to your point with Cabin Palooza, that was just me saying, hey, I think we can make this work. Kurt, and of all people, if you guys know Kurt Rode, I mean, this guy...
We've talked about him.
Yeah, the ultimate chiller is what we've referred to Kurt as. And look, I had the idea... Yeah, talk about, like, just letting me pursue the big idea and not have any sort of feedback or just
boundary.
That would be what Kurt Rode as a partner in this Cabin Palooza event was.
And for all those listeners that don't know what Cabin Palooza is, freshman year, second semester, Kurt's cabin, Decky reeled in a lot of people to Kurt's cabin and just called it Cabin Palooza. And Decky was in charge of the guest list. And from a bystander who got the invite and was an initial arrival, I was there in the first party. So I was like the first 10 people there. And I would just watch the influx happen over time.
You've got to.
I just sat there on the couch and I was like, there are more and more people coming. It was almost Project X-esque. So that was Project X time.
Yeah.
I feel like that movie I would just like get going.
It had it had wheels.
No, because I remember in high school, when every other weekend someone would be throwing a Project X party. And I feel like that was like sophomore year of high school.
Yeah, it might have been.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do kind of remember.
We can talk offline about it.
Yeah.
And specific people that may or may not have made Facebook events and things of
that nature.
Matter. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that definitely happened.
So
that movie had a strong
influence. I don't mean to interrupt, but I'm just saying that your timeline is way off base.
Okay, maybe it had foundation. It had the foundation of Project X had been laid, and it was still reeling in Decky's head 2-3 years later.
Okay, I'll agree to that.
We'll play on that. That movie had a lot of influence on our generation.
I think you're right. Yeah, absolutely.
We like. I
don't think I ever saw it.
I never saw it either.
But
I knew exactly
what
the
premise.
You knew
what it meant. And
yeah,
and you wanted.
Maybe I saw it. I don't know.
Doesn't really. It's.
We'll move forward with the podcast.
No. Let's. I think we might need
Should
to stay
we
here.
Yes. Come back to this one. Talk about.
No,
if
we're
I've
here
seen
now.
Or not.
Train's leaving. We got less than a minute to unpack. If
Have
you
seen
did
it
or
not?
Come on.
I can neither conform. I can neither confirm nor deny.
All right, dude. I don't know what it is, but like. Your mannerisms just crack me up, dude. Like, I can't stop laughing anytime that you do anything, almost, is what it really comes down to.
I think it's just a constant game of you trying to make him laugh and
of
him trying
chicken,
to make you
yeah.
laugh.
It's just chicken.
It's just chicken.
It's just back and forth. I find myself, when I'm with Declan, I find myself saying things that I didn't even know were possible things to say, and we'll both just play off of it. And there was an instance when we were riding bikes earlier today, and I was like, how did we just banter about something for so long? I apologize to the listeners because I can't think of what it was at this time, but we definitely
I know what it was.
What was it?
And it still requires a little bit of context, but I have like a weird obsession with Gabe's father, Dr. Dan. There's a weird connection here, and
he's the dentist.
No, his dad is my was
physician.
Was
dare
my,
you
physician?
No, he's my doctor.
Pediatrician.
That's what I was looking for.
Yeah, he took care of me from the time I was in like fourth grade
made
till
you cough.
Till now. Yeah, he made me cough.
Oh, no,
all kinds of different things, but. He's always been there for me before I even knew Gabe, actually, because when I moved into town, I was in like fourth grade. I didn't even meet you until I was
freshman year.
So like 5 or 6 years later. But what we were talking about was I was asking if your dad's going to retire soon, knowing that he's, you know, coming of age. And you said, no, he's, you know, he's expanding.
This is not what I was thinking
this
about
is not it.
At all.
Cancel it. Cancel it. Gabe's.
I feel like I could banter with other people about that.
Yeah,
I
that's
think
a
it was
normal
something,
banter.
Yeah. I feel like this podcast so far has been reliving our friendship. And I just kind of feel like it's like people are going to be like, okay.
They don't get it.
I don't know that they're going to get it.
I feel like they're a part of something right now. They're part of something special. They feel included.
Are you feeling it?
I'm feeling it.
Okay.
I'm learning.
Let's continue.
I can totally understand why you guys grew connected.
Why we vibe?
Vibed towards each other. Your gyration collided.
That is a great way to put it. I love that. Mm. Good stuff, Andy.
Well done.
Well done. My mom, speaking of gyration, my mom and my sisters even have said that, like, whoever I spend the most time with, they say I assimilate the way I talk to how...
That's absolutely true about you.
Yeah. Like, they... My Darby, she, when I was in Portland the other week, was like, you don't sound the same anymore now that you don't hang out with Gabe as much. She said, like, she was saying how I would...
She basically said, you're not my brother anymore. You need to go back to your true friends.
That's probably true.
Not that you're not a true friend. We're tied.
Yeah, that's fair.
But to
your point, I don't like my, I would inflect my voice deeper. And that was something that would, like, piss my mom off for the longest time. And I just don't do that anymore. But they're like, Darby said that I sound like you now, Andrew.
Really?
Yeah. How weird is that?
That's hilarious.
And it goes back to, I'm just like a spineless guy. I just assimilate to other people around me.
You're a conformist.
Just to please others.
So I think the question that the listeners want to know is, who would you rather assimilate to?
Hmm.
That's a pickle.
Let's put a poll up.
We might have to.
we need a full on debate.
Yeah, we do.
Which Decky's better? Which one would you rather have around?
Decky Gaby or Decky Andy?
It's tough to say. You know, I think for my mom's sake, she would prefer Decky Andy.
Hmm.
What is that supposed to mean?
She just didn't like when I would inflect my voice deeper because she thought I sounded worse. Which is
talk
no
with Maureen.
Yeah, you're gonna have to say something about that. Personally, I don't even notice it. I just think I'm my own person, and then people perceive me as such.
I notice it. I feel like. Do you feel like you notice it?
No.
Really?
Like a change?
Well, because you've only seen one side of it.
We were just talking about Declan using a particular catchphrase from Chris D'Elia.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I can pick up mannerisms when... Like, there was a time where Declan was using the word dude all the time in the same way that Chris D'Elia would. Does anyone remember that, or is that just me?
No, that's...
Oh, yeah, that's fair. That's, oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Like, I feel like you're a... an adaptable, you're impressionable.
Yes, because I remember last year too, I would start to do like my Theo Von voice.
Oh yeah, you get a twang in there. You start going Southern mode.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that was last year, and I don't really do. I don't even know if I can pull that out this year, which is kind of weird to think.
Well, you don't listen to him as much.
Exactly. I just listen to Chris D'Elia night and day, pretty much. Which is weird.
So maybe you got to start absorbing the people that you, like, if you want to be Chris D'Elia, and there's no harm and no wrong in doing that.
Yeah.
Then you keep doing that. If you want to be Jocko Willick, then you go all in and you just start going ham at 4:30 in the morning.
Be very disciplined.
Very disciplined.
All around.
Yeah.
In terms of like stand-up comedy and the things you're doing with that, impressions can go a long way. So, I mean, I think that it suits what you're interested in.
Yeah.
Here's a real question for you, Deck. Do you know who you are?
No. I really don't.
I have no idea.
I haven't a clue. I'm glad you brought that up, because I don't. I don't know who I am.
Would you consider yourself a, you know how the United States used to be called a, what is it, like a soup?
What a was, melting pot?
A melting, would you consider a yourself soup. A melting pot?
A soup. A
nice the United States. Soup.
Soup. Soup.
And you were just like, oh, melting pot?
A melting pot. You knew what I'm talking about. Would you say that you are a melting pot of a bunch of personalities or a tossed salad?
Ooh. I would say melting pot because I blend them together.
That's the difference.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, yeah, I guess that was already implied. So, yeah, I would consider myself a melting pot of a lot of different things. Would and then
that complement each other.
Right. So is it fair for me to call myself who like just Declan as like the label on the pot of all the different things that are in it? Is that like
that's
acceptable?
Declan, you are the combination of all of them. That's everyone to an extent.
Right. But do I just take it to extremes?
Well, you take it with like your inflection and your wordage.
My verbiage, yeah. Yeah.
Other people kind of have like habits and they take from other people, they talk the same. But you talk differently when it's different people. That's hilarious.
Yeah, it is.
That's adaptability right there, baby.
Or is it assimilation? Take it however you want.
So
Dealer's choice. I'll describe kind of how I've been a little assimilation when Gaber has arrived. I find myself already trying to, you know, pull the biggest words I know out of my word bank and use them. I just want to use big words around you.
Because
why? Well, because you started with razzmatazz and Andrew countered with gyration.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like razzmatazz is like a word for babies, though.
That's true. It's not a. It's a.
I am one giant, giant baby. I still use the word potty sometimes.
Do you ever?
That's
ask,
a baby word.
That is a baby word. You ever asked to go to the potty at work?
I raise my hand the whole nine yards.
In your cubicle?
Yep.
Do you work in a cubicle? Sorry, I didn't mean to throw that
at
you.
I don't. It's an open office workspace. A lot of companies are doing it now, so.
Yeah, got it.
That's assimilation.
That is assimilation.
Right.
Where do you work? Usually we start there with our podcast.
I work at a company called SEI Archway.
You love it?
I do love it.
What does SEI Archway do?
Basically, my role in the company is to do accounting on basically high net worth families' investment accounts. So I will do the accounting for buys and sells of brokerage accounts to different securities. I'll put in dividend payments, interest payments, private equity distributions, and capital calls and things like that. It's a lot of numbers based and a lot of like debits and credits and a lot of accounting buzzwords.
Yeah, keep rolling through them and keep pulling them. You've already used like 12.
You caught me off guard. I could have kept going, and now
You're stumbling.
I'm stumbling.
Rumbling, bumbling.
Rumbling, bumbling. Razzmatazz.
Razzmatazz. So, when you, because you graduated in December of like 2018, is that right?
Yeah.
So, and then you got the job in January of 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So this is your first full like calendar year coming up here.
Yeah, I've been in the position 9 months now, and I've really enjoyed it. I've definitely been able to kind of take on more responsibility as the further I get in the job, and I'm still learning a lot. So yeah, it's a great job.
Another question with that. So you've basically lived in Colorado your whole life,
right?
Working in Colorado now. Do you have any interest of moving out of the state?
No. I mean, I lived in Portland for about a year. I went there for my freshman year of college, and I really enjoyed it at the time. And I still love Portland a lot. I haven't really been back recently, but you know, I definitely love to see different areas of the country. Maybe not where everyone wants to go. Like, I'm not really interested in Los Angeles and New York and all that stuff. Like, Miami. It's cool to see, yeah. But, you know, coming to like Minnesota, I think is more up my alley and things like that. But in terms of just being in Colorado, I'm the youngest of four, as you well know, and two of my siblings are there, and they both just had babies, and I love being around them. And then one of my siblings is in Omaha for occupational therapy school, and he's trying to get back to Denver too. So it's just more of like being able to be around the family and around my friends still. It's, you know, I don't really have an itch to go and try something new, you know?
Yeah, external. Yeah, because that was kind of the leap that I made, like, right away, mm-hmm. coming out to Minnesota. And I really like it out here.
Right.
But at the same time, it's one of those things where it's like, I still feel like there's some exploring left to do. Mm-hmm. And I'm still kind of uncertain to the point of whether or not I want to even, where I want to call like home base. For me, it's kind mm-hmm. of like home base just doesn't really make any, like, I just don't really know what that is.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I'm 100% same way.
Right? Like, well, I don't know what that is.
We left our home base and we're in a temporary home base that we are planning more roots. So like the longer you stay here, the more that you want to stay here. And that's kind of how I work. Like the longer you stay in a place, the more relationships you build, the more,
right.
The more people you know, and that's more reason to stay. Sure. Right. That's really why I'm staying here, is because I love the people that I met at St. Thomas and I just want to be around them more, versus going back home, I'd be around my high school crowd again, which I love them too, but
mm-hmm.
I got just a cool tight-knit group here. And that's like, you did you go back to from Portland to school in Colorado?
I went to school in Boulder, and pretty much my entire friend group, except Declan and another buddy, JJ.
I know JJ.
Yeah. Yeah,
JJ
exactly.
Kilgore.
Yep. I think.
How do you know JJ?
Instagram, dude.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Oh, there we go.
And he used to say that a ton. Everyone was JJ.
Yes.
Yeah.
We called everyone JJ.
Yeah. It was a Snapchat thing that we'd take pictures of people, just random people. It could even be like a dog or something like that. And we'd just put JJ? ? So.
We live with a guy, Matty C., who still to this day will come up to me and be like, JJ? we did that so consistently for over a year, and I would just snap you and everybody else. Like, I had people snapping back.
Yeah, we were putting
back.
It on our stories and everything, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's crazy, right? That's actually kind of insane that's a thing.
That's hilarious, and I know that.
Yeah, the fact that you know, like, that's hilarious.
It's ingrained in my brain.
Yeah, no, that's... that's crazy. I totally forgot about that.
It's hilarious.
Classic. And JJ would not want any of that assimilation. Speaking of assimilation.
He's his own bird. Yeah. So you're in Denver, and you're living in something similar to this kind of neighborhood in Denver?
Yeah, I live in what's called Wash Park, and it's a gorgeous, gorgeous area. It's kind of southeast Denver, and... I'd highly recommend to anyone who's looking to live in Denver to check it out.
Young and booming.
Young and booming, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because we were sitting up here the other day looking at our map that's behind you, and we're like, okay, if we were to just, like, transport all the people and things that we have to, the like, different cities or places around the world or around the country, Denver was, like, pretty much top, what, two, three?
If not number one.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's my point.
It's God's country, baby.
It's God's country, baby. Well, and what's tough about it is, like, that's my home base, and, like, or that's what I considered my original home base, and I like going back and visiting and skiing.
You moved around a little bit. You were born in California, lived in Portland for a little bit, right?
Alabama, yeah. Portland, lived in the mountains for a couple of years, and lived in Denver for the majority, fourth or fifth grade on, pretty much. So, yeah, moved around a little bit, but it's kind of tough, like, now seeing, like, you know, I guess I got a taste of the Midwest now. I don't know, like, I don't really have any desire to go to the East Coast just because I kind of know what that's already all about.
Talk about rumbling, bumbling, stumbling. That's the East Coast.
Here's my thing about the East Coast, and this is, like, legitimately why I have just no interest in ever living there. If you're on the East Coast, Sunday football doesn't start until 1 p.m. The further west you go, you can wake up. When I was in Portland, I would wake up at like 9:30. Football would be on at 10. It was awesome.
And then you get done at six and you're going to your dinner.
Game finishes up. Sunday night football ends at like 7:30 on the West Coast, and Colorado's mountain time, so it's a little bit
pseudo. Yeah.
But
yeah, I agree. Yeah. Central's
East,
not bad.
East Coast either. Just messes up the NFL schedule, dude.
Yeah, they push
who wants
it
to
later.
Stay up, and that goes with NBA. I'm an NBA fan and all of that too, but who wants to stay up that late to watch sports? I do, but I don't want to wake up that early to go to work after watching sports.
Yeah, who do you think actually watches the games that late when they're on the East Coast? Do you think like our type of caliber fans in the sports world actually stay up late to watch like their favorite team in the NBA or?
Yeah.
NFL, yeah.
But I think they take on a favorite team probably on the East Coast that's playing on the East Coast.
Yeah, good point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if LSU was playing Alabama or something
right
at 9:30 at night start time for you, I feel like you would watch it.
Yeah.
100%.
Oh, 100%. Same with the Steelers.
Yep.
Same with anything, really.
I'm curious... From a native Coloradoian.
Coloradan.
Are you annoyed with the mass influx of people?
No, I don't care about the people. I care about the traffic, and that's really it.
So you don't mind the new people, but since Denver was, it's recently like renovated. Like that's not like an. It's like the roads and stuff are very nice. But when they...
I wouldn't say the roads are, like, crazy.
They're newer.
Nice.
Like, I-25 and all that stuff is...
Within the last 30 years, right?
Yeah, within the last 30 years. When you compare... Can you stop crackling? Just grab another drink, brother. But when you compare, like, I-25 and I-70, all the different routes within Colorado, comparing to, like, Minneapolis, St. Paul, the Twin Cities... My goodness. It's right. Night and day.
Night and day.
To your point.
Mm-hmm. And it was built in the way for expansion, but they've like times 10 that expansion with the earliest legalization of weed and shit.
Light rails.
And light rails and all that stuff. So like they were ready to be expanded and they built for the preparation, but now it's just too many people. So you like new faces, but the new faces bring hardship and community. No. Commuting.
Yeah, I mean, I take the light rail to work every day. I live 3 blocks from a light rail station, and then I work 2 blocks from the light rail station where I get off. So it really hasn't, like, recently it's been great. Like, anytime I get in an Uber, usually the first question is, where are you from? And... maybe 1% of the time it's Colorado. And that's not an exaggeration, you know.
1% of the time it's from Colorado.
Yeah, I can't even think of an instance where it's not.
Right.
Like we do get so many people from out of the country, from out of the state, and you know, I have no problem. I'm always interested in hearing about different parts of the country and all of that and different parts of the world, and you know, being able to kind of grasp that at a pretty basic level and learning about it. So
yeah,
I think it's great to have people from all over. It's just traffic.
Yeah, I agree. And it what's really cool and different about that dynamic is, like, so Minnesota, if you were to get in the same Uber and ask if they're from Minnesota, I would say typically, that's probably not a good comparison, but what I'm getting at is that the people in Minnesota are from Minnesota.
No. 90% of the Ubers you get in, they're from the state.
They're still from the state?
100%.
Okay, cool.
Like, yeah.
We can still
I'm very
that.
Confident in saying that almost every single time, if not every single time, they're from the state.
They're from Minnesota. Yeah.
So
we are very much outsiders.
We're outsiders in this whole thing.
This is a conversation about what things do you talk to Uber drivers about. Do you guys always ask where they're from? Because that's always what I ask.
We ask.
Rarely.
Yeah, well,
because I already assume.
You know.
We assume, yeah.
See,
so that makes sense.
That's the thing is that, yeah, I feel like when I ask, which is always, no one's from Colorado.
Yeah. Well, what's cool about Colorado, now that I'm kind of, like, maybe this isn't true, but.
Or maybe it is.
Or maybe it is. And that's what this podcast is all about.
Who cares?
Who cares? Who's even listening? The like
JJ?
JJ's in here. But if you think about it, like, Colorado, like, people are all moving there because of Colorado. They want the weather. They want the city. They want the mountains.
300 days of sunshine, 300
days of sunshine, you know. They want that X, Y, and Z things where, like, Minnesotans are staying because they love the lake life. They love this, they love that, and they have, like, this great community that they've built in this whole thing that they,
since everyone stayed, really they know everyone.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So there's this interesting comfortability that comes from total opposite sides of the spectrum.
Yeah, the interesting thing about Colorado, though, is I feel like we get a lot of people from, like, Chicago and Los Angeles and the Bay Area. Those are all expensive cities to live in and all places that Colorado natives want to move to. So I feel like that's kind of an interesting, like, twist where we're sending so many people to, you know, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Chicago, but they're sending so many people
back your way,
back our way. So yeah, it's just an interesting place to be because there is so much, variance from where people
cross pollination.
Yeah,
exactly.
God, Andrew's on it, dude.
I'm feeling it. Gabe has just pushed off these vibes. Yeah, I have unleashed a
dude,
new
these
vocabulary.
Are some great words.
Well, and another thing too, like, we were talking with the first date expert Katie Sir about, we asked her how she perceived us, and she said, oh, well, you're from St. Thomas, like, you're in your cliques, and you have, like, it's very similar to high school where you have, like, your tight-knit group of friends and everything. And what's funny about, like, the friend group, or I guess the people that we hang out with the most, are all people that aren't even from Minnesota. But it gets back to the point of, like, people are very tight-knit in Minnesota because everyone's from here,
mm-hmm.
and they just continue to assimilate. You've now lived through, you know, our high school career into CU, and now you're kind of in the, you know, workforce life as a 20-something. Do you see a similar mindset or assimilation with, like, I'm hanging out with high school friends and just, like, college friends are keeping the same tight-knit group of friends? Or do you see, like, new people, new faces coming into your social life consistently?
I think that my situation is a little bit unique because I really hang out with so many high school friends, but when I was in Portland, I was making new friends all the time. When I went to CU, I grew closer to even more high school friends. So I took, you know, some comfortability with those high school friends, and I actually live with, you know, two guys from our high school right now, as you know. One of them I lived with at CU Boulder, and one of them went to Cal Poly, and we've, you know, we've moved in together and we're having a great time. And since I've lived with those guys, we've pretty much doubled down on high school friends. I think CU was, you know, a really big school, and I wouldn't say that I like, I definitely like met people that I really enjoyed, but I never really like brought them into my circle, because in college I just kind of felt like things were more temporary, and a lot of people go their separate ways, and I've felt very strongly rooted with some of those high school friends. So
yeah, it's an interesting vibe though too, because
that's a great point from like my perspective.
Oh yeah.
Like I was like purposely making deeper connections because I had an intention to stay
mm-hmm.
in the Twin Cities afterwards.
Yeah,
because I knew it was cheaper than living in Chicago.
Right.
And then like the Tommy network that everyone prides, it's like that's why the school, like people go there because the Tommy network, it's 85% of that Tommy network is in the Twin Cities. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are pockets of other places that you can tap into it, but if I wanted to get a job right away with a Tommy alumni, you go back in the Twin Cities. So like I was like, from the different perspective, I was making the deep connections with friends and stuff because I was like, all right, I'm going to be living here after school.
Let's right.
really like get to know these people, and then they'll get to know me type
right.
thing.
And I think, like, I don't even think it's comparable in terms of St. Thomas is a pretty tight-knit community as it is. I think that being a smaller school definitely generates that. And being a bigger school like CU, I think there's not as much kind of like ownership
yeah.
of the way you, I don't want to say like the way you treat people, because most experiences at CU were positive and stuff like that. But I think there was a lot more superficialness at CU than I've experienced having come to St. Thomas. I mean, I came every year of college except senior year, and you know, everyone pretty much took me in. Like, I would say that I've got better connections with some of your friends than a lot of the people that I went to CU with, because it's just like a culture, you know. CU doesn't, being such a big school, there's not, like I said, ownership of,
or appreciation maybe.
Yeah, of those tighter knit communities. So
yeah. There's a common theme in this podcast right now. You know, the tossed salad versus the melting pot.
Please dive in on this.
I don't know. I don't want to put words in your mouth, Gabe, but it sounded like Boulder had a little bit more of a tossed salad, where people were in there, they were together, they were part of the bowl, and they realized they needed to, you know, try to, you know, make some flavors taste well together.
Yeah, be a Caesar.
Be a Caesar.
Or be a house.
Yeah.
Or, be a Greek.
Yeah, you could pick and choose whatever you want. And then
dealer's choice.
Dealer's choice. And then you got your melting pot. On the other spectrum, end of the spectrum, where they want, like, that was, you got in there and you're just already part of the culture. You're mixed in. Everyone's the same.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, too, because, like, you and I both were forced to kind of make friends right away when we showed up. And
knowing no one.
Knowing absolutely no one.
Right.
And, like, we threw ourselves in that situation and we,
our only connection was, you play football? Yeah, I play football.
Yeah, right. And then you'd work with that and you build something from that.
Versus everyone else there was like, oh, you knew this person.
You
and
went
this
to
Eat
Prairie. Yeah. I went to.
You played against this person. Oh, I was your rival. Yeah.
Perfect. Right. And it's cool because that's kind of the group we've built is off of just like kind of on a lark right at the beginning. And it's grown into like relationships. And I look at like your best friends or Mark's best friends or anybody else's like best friends from high school as just like one of us, which is, I feel like, what a lot of people look at Gabe as. And like, granted, I do a lot of legwork on my end to like overemphasize and hype up that my buddy Gabe's coming into town, and like, everybody get your shit ready because this is gonna be fun.
I know that there have been times where you'll play a song that my dad wrote, a Catholic church song, to people in Minnesota that have never even met me, and then they'll come around and be like, hey, your dad wrote Seed Scattered and Sown, and be like, yeah, I'm Gabe. Nice to meet you.
Yo, that's so true.
It's on Spotify.
Yeah, let's play it.
All right.
And then we'll get to the back pocket core questions.
Well, this leads perfectly into the back pocket core questions, because Gabe, what is in your back pocket?
I think what's in my back pocket would have to be my father. He wrote Seed Scattered and Sown, and that is a pretty popular Catholic church song. And I've been riding off his coattails for all my life because of that. And he also worked with Mother Teresa in India. I've got a picture on my phone of him kneeling.
Shown here.
Yep.
Actually, Gabe, you can show it on your screen. We'll just put it on yours. Where would you like it to be in the shot? You can look at the camera.
All right. As you can see right here, my dad standing next. Well, he's kneeling next to Mother Teresa, and she's standing. My dad is 6'4". And Mother Teresa was a lot shorter than that, and so he's almost taller than her on his knees.
Mm.
I had another thing in my back pocket, but I'm doing this one. I'm very good at states and capitals.
Oh, well, yeah, that's right.
All
right,
let's fire away.
Oh, this is good.
This is fun.
This is good fun.
Let's play.
Arkansas.
Little Rock.
All right, good start.
Rhode Island.
Providence.
Ohio.
Columbus.
North Dakota.
Bismarck.
Pennsylvania.
Harrisburg.
Ooh, God. That's good. Maine.
Augusta. Wait, no. Albany. No, that's New York. Augusta. Final answer.
We'll double check you on that one while Decky's doing that. West Virginia.
Charleston.
I do not know that one. So I have no idea if you're right or not.
West Virginia, South Carolina.
They both
Virginia,
have Charleston in it.
Well, South Carolina is Columbia,
mm-hmm.
but you think it's Charleston.
It's just a better city.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've been to
By both. The way, I guess I was right.
Yeah.
Attaboy.
California.
Sacramento.
Ooh, that's an easy one. I could have got that one. My favorite one, Oregon.
Salem.
Mm-hmm. I always say salmon.
Montana.
Helena.
Oh, did not know
that. I didn't know that one. New Mexico.
Santa Fe. People think it's Albuquerque.
I was going to say Albuquerque. Yep.
Minnesota.
St. Paul.
almost laid him in.
Missouri.
Jefferson City.
Really? I did not know that one. Oklahoma.
Oklahoma City.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got one for you guys. Nevada.
Albuquerque.
Come on.
Bingo.
Reno.
See, I thought it was Reno, and then someone recently corrected me. I even told many people that it was Reno because people never fact-checked me on this. I told so many people it was Reno. It is Carson City, and I am distraught that I've led so many people astray on that one.
That's hilarious.
Iowa.
Des Moines.
Okay, easy. Idaho.
Boise. Or Boise.
Boise?
Yeah. Boise. Max's girlfriend is from Boise, and she says it's Boise.
Boise. Okay. Hard S. Interesting.
Maine?
We already said that one.
Yeah, we already did.
Massachusetts.
Boston.
Okay. All right. Just had to curb check you there. What other states we got over there, Andy? We got to hit the East Coast.
Connecticut.
Hartford.
Vermont.
Montpelier.
New Hampshire.
Concord.
Damn. North Carolina.
Raleigh.
South Carolina.
Columbia.
You already did that one?
No, sorry. Georgia.
Atlanta.
Mississippi.
Jackson.
Alabama.
Florida.
Alabama's Montgomery. Florida's Tallahassee.
Mm.
Ooh, Louisiana.
Baton Rouge.
Yep.
Alaska?
Juneau.
Hawaii.
Honolulu.
Mm-hmm. What island's it on?
The Big Island?
Nope. Oahu.
Okay.
Andrew goes to Hawaii a lot.
I've only been once.
Sweet.
And it was in Honolulu.
Wow.
Let's keep doing this. This is my favorite thing.
Is there more? Illinois?
Illinois.
Springfield.
Yep. Shout out the Simpsons.
Yeah, and if you had a fake ID in Illinois, you have to know that.
I did.
And none of us did, yeah.
Go Gators.
Yeah.
Colorado. Did we say that one already?
No. Denver.
Denver. Good answer.
Thanks. It's the right
Tennessee.
One. Tennessee. Nashville.
Okay.
Kentucky.
I've got a story about this one.
Mm. All right. Don't say the answer. Tell the story first.
Okay. So I was at a lacrosse camp at the University of Denver one time. And this lacrosse coach says to all of the players, he's like, I'll give a candy bar to whoever can get this right. How do you pronounce the capital of Kentucky? Louisville or Louisville? And everyone's like, Louisville, Louisville. And I go, Frankfurt. He goes, I'm bringing you a candy bar. Never did. I never got a candy bar out of it. And I thought I was like the smartest kid alive.
Damn. I was sitting there like, Louisville. It's Louisville. It's
not- He was like, you guys are
neither
all
of those are right. You thought it was a trick question in the fact that I messed up probably how he said it. So.
Mm.
That's tough. So right. Frankfurt.
Frankfurt.
Are we missing any states?
No,
I think that's a good one to end on.
Yeah, that's
a good story.
Pretty damn close. That's impressive. Congratulations on that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like the thing about my dad is definitely cool, but
that's not you.
I don't want to ride on his coattails for the purposes of this podcast.
No longer.
This is my public. This is my breaking free podcast. So
cue Zac Efron.
Yeah, cue Zac Efron and Gabrielle breaking free right here. This would be a good spot to put it.
So
in.
Put it here.
Right there?
How about right there?
Can we put it right here?
No, well, other way. There's a lot of camera room to your right. Yeah, right there.
Over here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so cue. This is my breaking free podcast. Cue Zac Efron right here.
We're soaring, flying. There's not a star in heaven that we can't reach.
If we're trying, so we're breaking free.
You know the word.
Get to our average quality. All right, gentlemen. Average quality alert. Something you do well at times, other times not so well. At the end of the day, it's your average quality.
Well, I came up with this today. I was raised in a shoes-on-in-the-house household, and that has caused me to overlook some of the some of my peers who may have grown up where shoes aren't allowed and carpets and things like that. And so I was told by a dear friend of mine today that I needed to get off of his carpet because I had shoes on and I could not understand it at all, and it really put me in a funk for the rest of the day.
You looked at me very surprised. I go, Gabe, get off my rug, and he looked at me and goes, huh?
I didn't know. So I think that causes me to I just think that
every house is different.
You know, but growing up on a shoes-on household, you kind of just don't even think to take your shoes off sometimes.
Let me ask you this. Do you think...
As he takes his shoes off, you just had your shoes on in here.
My new shoes, I was breaking them in.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good point.
And then I took them off.
They took them off during...
For
content's sake.
Good. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I just want to let people...
Yep, appreciate that. Hold me accountable.
I'm a context guy, and I need to just let the people...
Well, I just want to ask you this, Gabe. Do you think it held you back in life, having your shoes on in the house for so long, and then entering into a world where it's the majority of people
take their shoes off in the house.
I think I would have been a doctor otherwise. I think that, yeah, I'm not going to blame that fully, but yeah, I would say that it ruined my life.
Wow. More or less.
Yeah.
All right. I could get behind that, you know, because your family, you know, not a lot of people are talking about this.
I actually don't even, I think my family has it. Maybe I did grow up in a shoes off household and I just never assimilated.
God, word of the day. We've used assimilated maybe 40 times today.
Yeah.
I definitely didn't. My family wears shoes.
Okay. I was going to say, if we're going to go about, like, you probably should have been a doctor, you're in a house of learned doctors. You know that, right?
Medical professionals.
Yeah. And I think,
Yo, what?
This, yeah, no, his dad's a doctor.
No. Why do you correct him on doctor to medical professional? I feel like doctor's cooler.
Because my dad's the only doctor. My sister's a physician assistant. My brother is a business manager at a university hospital. And then my other brother is
OT.
Occupational therapy, but he's just a student right now. So
a student of the game.
We can't pluralize doctors currently, and medical professionals is more broad and it captures everyone.
So I worked at United Healthcare for a little bit and I had to call and to confirm that a doctor or a qualified medical professional had the credentials signed off on certain documents. And physician assistants, is that what your sister is?
Yeah.
They didn't qualify for what I was looking for.
Oh, interesting.
Interesting. So I do agree that, you know, the medical professional term is much broader, and I applaud you for your correction.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. had to be worth noted.
Are you the safest guy you know because of how much medical professionalism is in your family?
I feel like I grew up basically with, you know, my dad saying, you know, don't jump on a trampoline when other people are jumping or you'll break your kneecap or die or something along those lines, or wear a helmet when you bike or you'll get hit by a car. Yeah. So I'm cautious, I think. I feel like safe. We'll put cautious.
Okay. Okay.
I feel like I'm constantly thinking of ways that, like, will this kill me? Like my dad said it would.
So you definitely vibe with more like yellow terminology. Mellow, cautious. Come to a slower halt versus red, completely stop. That's a doctor way. Stop.
I have no idea what you're referring to.
You talked about your. They didn't
you
teach talk you this
about. In, you live. You live in a state of fear.
No.
That's not.
We're talking Fine Arts One here. This is where you guys should learn this with Antonio Mace.
Wow.
Holy shit! Andy.
I saw Mr. Mace on the light rail the other day.
Mr. Mace. Yeah, Mr. Mace actually messaged me on LinkedIn like a year ago.
Yeah, I saw him on light rail the other day.
Is it weird that I also had an Antonio Mace? He was my gym teacher.
No shit.
Yeah, that's really weird. Yeah.
And is it also weird that the Antonio Mace that we had could also, like, he had the persona and the look of a gym teacher?
Whoa.
Yeah. No, we got to send him this for sure, right? That's 100%. You saw him?
He asked about you specifically, I think.
Really?
I think so.
What do you say?
Declan's still doing that podcast, I think. Something along those lines.
Foundation.
That sounds about right, yeah.
Laying the groundwork. Sweet. Grassroots.
Because we had his class together.
Again, full circle.
Full circle.
You know what it does?
Boom.
Right there, baby.
It's a beautiful moment.
That's a beautiful moment. It's a challenge.
It's a challenge.
you were going to say that?
I was going to say it. I was going to do it.
You can take it, dude.
That beautiful moment,
it all comes because you guys challenged each other to stay well connected, to have a bond. So, Gabe, because of that challenge, we'd like you to continue on the challenge-esque mentality and challenge us with someone to get on the show. So a lot of guests that come into this room are from the Twin Cities or have a profession in the Twin Cities, and they challenge us with local people. You have the freedom and the open door to go out to go about it any way you want. We typically love to have the people in our studio, but we'll allow you a special exemption. Challenge us
any. Because we'll have to fly out to whoever you say if. That,
I'm actually going to give you guys someone in the Twin Cities who you guys probably don't know.
Sweet. Oh, fire away.
My challenge for you guys is to get Joe Beckman on the show. He lives in Minnesota. I think he's a St. John's alumni, so guys might have a competition. But I worked a confirmation camp with him at my church one time, and he's a stand-up guy, and I think he should be on the show.
Wow, he'd be our first ever Johnny. I don't think we've ever, like, confirm or deny?
I'm going to go deny. Can't necessarily confirm it, but okay. I don't know.
Okay.
I'll confirm it. Fuck it.
Okay. Yeah. We never had a Johnny on this podcast. That's impressive.
Well, try it.
Figure it out.
Did you have the same priest that looks like me?
No, that's Father Jim. That he's from like my area, hometown.
Okay.
Which is South Gabe. I don't think you've ever met Father Jim, the guy who went to St. Thomas and actually does look like Andrew, which
Where'd
is
you
very
go?
Funny. Pox Church. Christi.
Pox Christi?
That's where I went, yeah.
Never even heard of it.
Wow.
Wow. Here we are. All right. But anyways, yeah. No, he doesn't.
Challenge accepted.
Challenge accepted. We can do that. We can
Joe Beckman.
Do that. Mm-hmm. Joe Beckman.
Dope.
We'll make it happen.
Well, we've hammered you with questions at this point. And I'd like to say they've been pretty good questions, so we're going to pat ourselves on the back.
This has been a good podcast, Gabe. How would you rank this podcast in general?
On a scale of what?
That's your scale.
Yeah, your scale. You
it could
couple
be lines to
give
zebras.
Us a, give
it
us
could
a,
be
yeah.
0 to 1. You, I mean, you pick.
Yeah. Just give us a reaction.
43 inches.
That's a pretty good box jump. That's actually a really good box jump. So that's a good
podcast.
Put
it in perspective, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Really got up there. Thank you for that.
Thanks, Gabe.
Well, I'd like to open the door for you now to ask us questions. That noise is not good for podcasting.
My question for you guys... Can I smoke my cigar in your studio?
No.
I would never do that. Declan and I planned to do that just to...
Despite me.
Just hoping to get a rise out of you, but...
Yeah, it worked. I was like, is he about to do this?
Andrew's...
I do not have any questions for you.
I'd like to ask you another question, though.
Okay.
Since you've known us and you've maybe listened to a few shows,
right?
For the back pockets,
I've got a question.
Here we go. Perfect.
What is your guys' favorite average quality that a guest of yours on the show has said?
Fuck yeah, that's a great question.
I thought of that earlier.
It was processing.
When you put me on the spot, it's hard
to process right away. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't think of a specific one, but maybe Declan can when I'd say this. My favorite average quality is when someone says something that it's their profession and that's their average quality. So from examples of like someone's a DJ and their average quality is DJing because they want to get so much better at it that right now they view themselves as middle of the pack average and they just want to get better. Or we had like Alexis Walsko, who is in PR, and she talked about her favorite thing to do outside of work is running, and she's like, my average quality, it's a below average quality is running, and we're like, no, it's your average quality because you want to get better at it every day. That's my favorite thing, when someone like takes the time to look at it that way, because that's always our intention, is your average quality is something that you really do care about and you just want to get better at it. And versus some people come in here and just say cooking. And like, we hear that more times.
Yeah.
That's enough the times to like start a cookbook.
Like 50% of the time I want to say it's cooking.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, sick. Like, that's, yeah. And what are you, you're good
same,
at, and,
right?
And you're good at breakfast, I'm assuming? Yeah. We're great at breakfast. Sweet. Thank you.
Yeah.
Which is why we need to get, like, a guy who's a cook, like, head chef. And then, I mean, we're not going to tell him or nothing, but hopefully his average quality is cooking.
Cooking.
Right? Because that's a
There's
win.
There's always room for improvement.
Right.
So that's my favorite thing. And I that's why I love the question, because people sometimes are just like, this is, like, a tough question. I'm just going to say parallel parking. Or some people are like, this is a tough question, I'm going to get deep, and it's my actual profession is my average quality. I think that's pretty cool how that question can provoke so many different answers.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Great question. My favorite, I was going to say cooking. I was just like, it's so funny when someone brings that up, and I have to just like...
continue the conversation.
Act enthused. I'm like, no way! Like, what's your go-to meal? And they're like, breakfast. I'm like, shit. Everyone also says breakfast.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Here's like a good key of like when you know the guest hasn't read the questions is when they say their average quality is cooking. And you're like, okay, I get it now. Except sometimes
or they look over at Ty.
Ty's like, I don't know what to tell you, dude.
Yeah, figure it out.
Figure it out. Exactly. Good question.
Great question.
Great question.
Thank you, Gabe.
What was the question you had for Gabe?
No, mine was pretty much to just like start thinking about back pocket. Like, get him to think about back pocket. There was no question. I was just going to ramble.
I guess my one perception.
So you were hoping that I would do what I just did.
That was my intention, yep.
And he executed.
Cool.
I guess my question, I do kind of want your honest opinion, and you're never going to not give an honest opinion anyways. So that's stupid to say that.
You're very honest.
You're an honest guy.
That's why I appreciate you.
It's funny because, like, when you say Gabe, it's like, yeah, that's his name.
Honest Gabe.
Honest Gabe.
Is Honest a, Abe.
Honest Abe.
Honest Gabe.
Honest Gabe. There you go. I am curious as, like, from your perspective, like, I have, like, we get to see each other, what, two, maybe three or four times a year, I'd probably say.
Yeah, probably
calendar
about
year.
That.
More what or less. What is your, like, outside perspective of the podcast, because you've seen it since day one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that you know, it starts off as like, oh, Declan and his buddy have a podcast, you know, cool. And then it kind of grew into like, oh man, Declan's getting really into this, getting really fired up. And you know, I've like, to be honest with you guys, I've listen to like a few episodes here and there. I'm not tuning in every single week, right? And part of that to me is because you know, when I want to hear Declan's voice, I'll call him or text him or whatever, and we'll talk about things. And I think that in terms of the podcast, I was like, oh yeah, you know, it started snowballing and getting bigger and bigger. And, you know, I've always been curious as to where it's going to go and things like that. And then, you know, I think last time we talked when you came to Denver, that was like really the first time that I was getting really fired up about it for you. I think, before that, I was just kind of like neutral, like, yeah, you know, my buddy's got a podcast sort of thing. And then you started expressing your vision for it and things like that. And I was like, oh, man, like, this has big, big, you know, they're really, really putting in the time and the work. Because I don't think the listeners do have a good perspective on how much you guys do put into this podcast. I think being so close with Declan, I do understand, like, you guys are contributing so many hours a week just to set up these interviews and you know, put out good content and, you know, figure out sponsorships and figure out different events that you can put on, that I think it's absolutely awesome because you guys are gaining an experience that you definitely could have just been like, all right, we'll come and we'll talk for an hour and a half or whatever, and that'll be it. But you guys have gone above and beyond, you know, contributing hard-earned money from your other jobs towards this podcast to basically get it as far as you can because you guys are that passionate about it. So I think that's kind of my perspective in terms of just the growth of it. I don't know that I ever saw it like taking off for a while. And then, Declan and I talked about it last time he came out, and I got really excited for the both of you. And, I look forward to seeing what's to come. So
fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah. I love that.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Problem.
That's awesome.
No, that's very well said.
It's
been through
very long winded, but,
yeah, I mean the first podcast or the podcast that we're referring to when you talked about hyper realistic LARPs and shit, that was like
two.
It was two?
Episode two.
Yeah.
How funny is that?
We tripled down on you on episode two.
On episode two.
That was all we had.
Yeah. And this is where
bringing
we are now.
Big guns, baby.
Yeah. Now they get to know who episode two is. That's so cool. I love this shit. And Declan and I say this all the time. Like, we're not going away. We're going to always figure out a way to stay around and grow it. We're not.
Yeah.
It's not like we're just going to be around. We're always looking to get bigger and be smarter about the time we put in.
Right. And I mean, look at the things like Declan, I don't think would have gotten into stand-up comedy without it. I don't think you guys would be putting on events like Bocella without it. And I think that, you know, all of that stuff is awesome. It's nobody else that I know is doing things like this. And any two dummies with a microphone can make a podcast, but you guys have definitely put your heart and soul into the thing, and you both work strenuous jobs as it is, and it's just something that you love to do. So I think I look forward to seeing where it will go.
Appreciate
that. That's awesome.
I wouldn't quit your day jobs just yet. I've worried about that. I'm like, don't quit just yet. But, you know, I think you take it as far as you can take it. And I think that you guys definitely have the willpower to do so.
Appreciate that.
Thank you, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really did want to ask that question because, like, you've really been there from the start and been, like, invested because it's me or
right.
because I'm doing something, whatever it is.
Right.
Like, you're going to keep in touch just
yeah.
from that personal connection.
And I mean, I think that Declan has a pretty good understanding that, you know, I can't listen to every single podcast. And
that's my expectation with
nobody,
everybody.
But, you know, Declan does a good job of shooting me something that might be, you know, in line with my interests and stuff. And, you know, I'll take a look at it and all that. And, yeah, I think that definitely having that personal connection, it, I mean, you guys are two personable guys and everything. And so, I think that adds a lot. You guys have got the personality to take this thing as far as you want to. So
to the moon. Absolutely. But dude, that was awesome. That was actually
sure.
I really wanted to know, and then like came all the way back full force. Tidal wave, gave me tidal wave, dude. Very well said, brother. But we'll finish with this final question, right? What did you learn today from the time you woke up to the time we're talking now, to the time Gaby Days year five is commencing, and we're going to Tommy Johnny tomorrow. Crazy.
Oh man, dude. I really liked what your mom and I both had to say. I learned that it would be a sweet podcast idea. Maybe not your guys' brand, but to do a right swipe podcast and just have that be it, where you just match with people on dating sites and they come on the podcast. I think that's the thing that I learned that I would actually like be interested in, just to see where things go.
Yeah, it is the weirdest thing because, you know, we're sitting here currently right now where that podcast of our blind date podcast will
not
launch.
Has not been released.
Has not been released
But
yet.
Neither will this one. until after, right?
Right, until
when's
after.
This getting released?
It would be the after that Blind Day podcast, because that it would be the Tuesday after.
13 days out. 13.
Yeah, we backlogged a little bit. But, yeah, so if you're listening now, yeah, the Blind Day podcast is out. Go back and listen to it. But, and Andrew, back me up or decline what I'm, cancel what I'm saying. But, like, this idea, execution, and everything that we've done to this day has never had more, like, interest and, like, laughter and just, like, keen, like, holy shit, that's a good idea,
mm-hmm.
than this date idea podcast. Simple as that.
Yeah. I mean, you guys were showing me some of the stuff you guys are working on, and we were all cracking up because it was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, this shit. I mean, that, there's something there, right? Like,
that could fall under our model that we're pursuing.
Exactly.
Yep.
Absolutely. And I love that feedback. And I love you.
I love you, man.
Hey, Gabe, I love you too, man.
I love both of you. I love all of you. And this is a podcast of love.
I didn't get to tell AI that I love him, so I love you, AI.
Thanks, man.
All right, well, hell of a podcast.
Kumbaya.
I love both you guys. Let's go smoke that cigar outside of this podcast studio. All right,
let's go assimilate the cigar into our lives.
Cheers to Antonio Mays and
to Antonio Mays.
Antonio Mays and what? Eckler? No.
JJ?
Who are we bleeping out?
Craigle.
Oh, Craigle.
Craigle.
Cheers. That's a wrap, baby.
Coast in my heart, right where I'm meant to from the start. It's so much warmer than the secrets you've been holding in. And don't you look at me sideways with those eyes. Always acting like you ain't got the time. I can't imagine trying to carry what you hold inside. But ooh, you got a reason to sing. And ooh, you're finally listening. And ooh, you should go back to the start. Cause you can't hold on to what's inside you.